the Mwale for the win. Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Pino gets the crossing. He's towards one man.
World Championship medal. She is the greatest of all time. You just can't say it enough. Wow.
Women's singles champion, Serena Williams.
Loom large. Williams into Bird. In the corner. You bet. She's done it again. Sue Bird.
Welcome back to All In, WFUV Sports' only all women in sports podcast. I am joined today by Mary Hawthorne and Hope Nolan. I'm Grace McCarron. Today we're going to be covering a little bit of WNBA. The draft is coming up in just a few weeks, and then we're going to turn it over to a little bit of tennis. There's always something going on with the WTA. And then to cap things off, going to talk a little bit about the PWHL and their possible plans for expansion. But before we get into all of that, Mary, I'll start with you. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I had such a great time at our one-on-one show last Saturday. So I'm so glad that we get to all do a podcast together so soon after. So very excited.
Yeah, I mean, same. The one-on-one show was so fun. I'm so glad that was my first like real thing at FUB. So that was super awesome. And it's warm outside. I'm ready for the weekend. Good vibes.
Awesome. So let's get right into it. The WNBA draft just a couple of weeks away. And this week we got some pretty big news that shakes up a little bit of the top of the draft order. Notre Dame's Olivia Miles is not declaring for the WNBA draft. She will be entering the transfer portal instead. She was projected to be the number two overall pick. So, guys, how do you think this will affect the first round of the WNBA draft? Hope, I'll start with you.
I mean, it's definitely a crazy switch up. I mean, I don't really blame her. Just the money that's like available in NIL seems so much more like tangible and just better than a rookie salary. Like, and just like, I don't know why you wouldn't use your one last year and then declare next year, but it obviously is going to shake things up, like being second overall and just not, which I think we were all kind of surprised by. I definitely think this is like going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised that she made that move. I mean, I think it's great. As Hope said, there's so much opportunity with NIL. And I think the longer you can stay in college, honestly, the better. There's so many unique experiences. And I think that she has so much more to contribute to college women's basketball. So shocking, but definitely exciting. I was really surprised by this. I thought she would be great in Seattle. So yeah, really surprised by that.
Yeah, so just to go over for our audience, the order for the top five in the first round. Number one is Dallas, who probably going to go with Paige Becker's kind of a layup pick there. And then Seattle, number two, who was projected to take Olivia Miles, so they will now have to make different plans. And then Washington has two picks straight from trades with the Chicago Sky. And then number five, the newest squad, the Golden State Valkyries. Do you guys think there's any, like, do you have any thoughts on who might jump up to number two overall?
I honestly don't know. Like, I feel like Olivia Miles was just so, like, locked in that it's, like, I don't know. I feel like Paige Beckers is so up there and just everyone is so obsessed with her. And she's so awesome, obviously. But she gets so much publicity. And, like, she is kind of, like, the face of the draft, which obviously she's top. But I don't know. I feel like all these other people are kind of just, like, trailing behind her. And they're, like, trailing behind her by a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I actually was reading something from the Bleacher Report. I heard potentially Dominique Malanga. I saw Sonia Citron from Notre Dame. I think she's definitely a contender. Yeah, those two, I think. Oh, and even Anisha Morrow from LSU. I mean, there's so many people that I think would be great and have so much potential and could potentially be the number two pick. But I feel like it's still up in the air from like the Bleacher Report to even like X. I've seen so many different sort of mock drafts where I really don't know where this could go.
Well, we will have to see what happens at the WNBA draft in just a couple of weeks. But for now, I'm going to turn it over to tennis. So basically, we're kind of in the full swing of the WTA season right now. We just had Indian Wells wrap up a couple of weeks ago with a big upset, Sabalenka upset in the final. Mary, you're our WFUV tennis reporter. Do you want to touch a little bit on the Indian Wells final before we get into more stuff?
Definitely. So Indian Wells happened earlier this month, or earlier in March. I guess it's April now. Very exciting. Mira Andreeva upset Aryna Sabalenka, who's a multi major champion. And it was a great final. I believe that Sabalenka was projected to win by, I mean, over 60%. So definitely surprised that Andreeva was able to pull this one off. Very exciting final, two sets. But Mira, she just had this confidence throughout the entire tournament that everyone really saw. I know the reporters zoomed in. I don't know if you guys saw this even on like TikTok or something. Like in between games or any sort of changeover, she would reference this notebook, and it was just a handwritten, I mean, full notebook or spiral notebook filled with like all the names of the opponents that she's beaten and like specific notes on them, which I mean, just shocked everybody because it's such a unique strategy and really just shows her confidence, the fact that she's going to pull this out and not have, any worry about showing this to like the camera behind her. So I think it was a great final, really exciting. I actually was able to go home and watch it with my parents. But I think it's a sign that girls or young women in tennis are really growing. I think we've seen these more experienced female tennis players staying at the top, but now we have this next generation sort of coming through, which I think is always just such a great thing. But I'm curious what your guys' thoughts were on the final.
Yeah, I mean, seeing someone so young, like that was so awesome. And like, I do think that they have like such a good friendship and they seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like I was like so happy for like the both of them and they just seemed like so happy. But the notebook thing was like crazy. And like, if I was like playing my game and people were like zooming in on my like notebook that's supposed to be hyping me up, I would be like, oh my God, please don't read my exclusive notes about me trying to beat people and everyone. I've like, that's kind of crazy. I would not be happy with that.
Yeah, that's like super. I kind of love that for her, honestly. Like she's super locked in. And she's been like around too. She had, I believe, Mary, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe that's Andreeva's first, like, I mean, Indian Wells is like basically they call it the fifth Grand Slam. Like it's right up there. I believe that's one of her first huge titles, but she's right there. There's been a lot of young women kind of making their mark in tennis the past few years. We've seen Coco Gauff. Obviously, I think she's been one of the biggest ones because she's so young. And then we have like Emma Navarro made her statement over the summer at like Wimbledon and the Olympics. She's pretty fresh out of college as well, I believe. But moving right along to the Miami Open, which ended last weekend, and that was where Sabalenka got a little bit of revenge. She defeated Jessica Pegula, the fourth seed, last weekend. Mary, I'll throw it over to you first again. What did you think of the Miami Open?
I thought the Miami Open was great. I think on both sides, both men and women, we really saw we saw people come to the top that don't normally do. Like there's so much new talent for both men and women's tennis that I think makes it up. But for me, like Serena Williams was my life, like actually the bane of my existence. Like watching her and Venus was why like I fell in love with tennis. So losing her for me like has affected how I watch women's tennis. And even losing Roger Federer, losing Andy Murray, losing Nadal now more recently, like I felt like tennis kind of lost this spirit that was so intrinsic to it. Like there really weren't all these different players winning majors and like ATP 1000s. It was literally like a circle of the same three people for almost 2 decades. Like, it was insane. So now I feel like seeing these sort of new players rise to the top, and even more experienced players like assert their dominance, like Sabalenka. She's always sort of proven herself, but now she's really solidifying this like number one spot is exciting. So I felt like watching Pegula, who's, a fabulous American tennis player, and Sabalenka play is definitely going to be something we keep seeing over and over, which is quite exciting for me. So I loved it. I thought it was a great final.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just been like something so fun and new with tennis recently. Like I've always like kind of paid attention, but just like as of recently, I feel like it's I don't know if I'm just paying attention more, so it's like my algorithm, but like I feel like just like way more headlines and just like the game being more like not like new, like obviously it's the same game, but it just seems like there's something else that's like coming with it that is just so interesting. And I think it's like attracting a new audience, but also like just keeping the people who kind of like got a little not like sick of it, but got a little bored, like bringing those people back in as well.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said with, as you said, Mary, like all of these legends who are retiring. Obviously, there's still like Djokovic, but all of these legends retiring does bring in a new generation. I think that kind of might appeal to younger fans who maybe didn't get to watch like a lot of Roger Federer, Nadal, Serena. They didn't really get that experience that we had. Like I was the same way with Serena and Roger Federer. Like that was my life, and that was the reason I got into tennis. Like me and my mom would watch them every single match in the majors. But I think that kind of the new generation where they're, I mean, some of these girls are like 18 years old, like younger than we are, which is crazy. And I think that really might attract younger fans, and especially with the American women that have been so successful recently, it's really interesting to see, and it's really nice also on the men's side for American tennis players too, because it's been a long time since we've seen a big name in that department. But on that note, actually, the rise of American women in tennis, first time in 25 years that there are three American women in the top five. So on that note, I'd like everybody to share who is your favorite American female tennis player. Hope, do you want to go first?
Like, I think hands down Coco Gauff. I'm obsessed with her. I think she is perfect. I think she's so cool. She has just like this vibe and this confidence, which I think is so awesome for just like girls and women in sports and just like everyone in general to kind of like look up to and aspire to be. And I think she's so awesome.
I totally agree. Coco is my favorite, I think, female tennis player. She's so young and talented and composed. Like
Yeah.
anytime she's in any sort of interview, like she maintains her composure and is just so eloquent. So I think her presence both on the court and off are so admirable. So she's definitely my favorite. But actually, I had a conversation with my friend last night, who plays on the club tennis team, and he was telling me how much he loves Madison Keys, and his reasoning definitely made me have a deeper appreciation for her. I love the fact that she finally won a major after being a professional tennis player for, almost or over a decade now. So I think Madison Keys might be my second favorite as well.
Yeah, I was gonna, I mean, full like three for three here. I was gonna say Coco Gauff too. This is kind of like a funny little side thing. She responded to my TikTok comment once like 4 years ago, and I was like, oh my God. But
You
yeah,
go for that.
I know exactly. I love Madison Keys too, though. I was so happy when she won Australia after her last major final in 2017, like 8 years ago, where she lost to Sloane Stephens, who's a close friend. That was another amazing final, side note. But yeah, I was really happy to see her do that. She's dealt with a lot of injury struggles as well, and she also seems like such a sweet person. So I was so happy to see her do that. And it's going to be super fun to watch the rise of American women's tennis in the next few years. Hopefully, we can continue on that path. Hopefully, Coco gets a couple more, and then we see maybe Jessica Pegula makes some noise, Emma Navarro, etc. There's so many names to choose from these days. But gonna move over to the ice for our last topic of conversation, the PWHL. They are nearing the end of their regular season, but what I wanted to discuss was possible expansion in the PWHL. It's the newest professional league founded in August of 2023, so not even 2 years old, and they've already seen so much success. They recently passed 1 million fans in attendance a couple of weeks ago, which was fantastic. But they only at the moment there's only five teams, so obviously there's a lot of room for expansion. Actually, I think it's six. I'm sorry, but yeah, a lot of room for possible expansion. Ottawa and Boston played a game in St. Louis last week, so they seem to be hoping for an expansion team. And then there's a bunch of other cities with hopes for an expansion bid: Vancouver, Seattle, Detroit, etc. Those are all teams with NHL or cities with NHL teams. Obviously, hockey in Canada is huge, so Vancouver would be interesting, and also in the Midwest for Detroit as well. So, are there any cities that you guys think should be looking for expansion? And that could even be not even just about the PWHL, also the WNBA as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the takeover tour, I think that's what it was called that they did. Like, that
Yeah.
was so cool and just like such a good idea to just like generate fans and like just young girls in general to like go to these games and be like, wait, I want to play hockey. Like, this is so cool. I actually played hockey when I was a kid and I retired because I was really bad, but it's okay. But I think Detroit would have a great team. And I also think Denver. Like, I feel like Denver, those are two very big, like, hockey dominated places. And like, I know Denver, they have such a good college, like,
Yeah.
hockey. So I think that would just be a great place to get people more into it.
That's such a good point. I think I definitely agree with you, Hope. I think Denver, would be an amazing hub to kind of just nurture more women's hockey. So that would be amazing. I'm also excited about Vancouver. I went down some Reddit threads, and I think expanding to a place like Vancouver where the Canucks are would be a great opportunity for more women to play hockey, and I think it would be really successful. So definitely excited about Vancouver as well.
Yeah, overall, I mean, I'm a huge hockey fan, so I could talk about this for ages, but hockey overall has been kind of gaining a little more traction in the past few years. The NHL with Four Nations in February got a lot of attention. There's been talks for expansion there. They've already had some expansion teams in recent years with the Seattle Kraken, the Vegas Golden Knights a few years ago now, but overall, I would love to see some more PWHL teams. I've been meaning to get out to a Sirens game at the Prudential Center because they have some awesome players, and I hope that the attention they're receiving. I mean, I love the WNBA, but I hope that the PWHL can reach that height as well because I just love hockey so much, and they deserve it. They've been making a lot of strides. So I think that's going to do it for us for All In this week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by Mary Hawthorne and Hope Nolan. We will see you next time for WFUV Sports.